You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Producer Brian throwing up some sweet bumper music there, brother. Thank you.
Another
it's all
Texan.
About Texas.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But Barbecue Bob, we covered the brisket pretty good already. And
We pounded the brisket.
Right, yeah. Sometimes you got to do that to make it tender. But
not a bad idea.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to – a lot of southern Texas has a Mexican influence in the seasoning profiles.
Or the whole U.S. now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Very popular.
And if
very
it's
popular.
Not – the most popular restaurants in any town are what?
Mexican restaurants.
And Chinese.
Right.
You got those two big ones.
Right.
And I would default to Mexican restaurant any day.
Every day.
So my daughter Emily came up with this she didn't come up with it, but I mean, she sent it to me in advance. It's called a smoked carnitas, and it's basically a pork shoulder that you marinate. Now, I marinated it and injected it, and if you've ever injected a pork butt, you'll know that they don't inject very easily. So it had a lot of spots where you could see where the big injector went in, and there was a concentration of this green, but the it sort of reminded me of that chimichurri I was making for a while. And this is a really complex recipe. We'll put it on the grillingguys.com, and it's called smoked carnitas. But I don't want to have to try and break everything down. But the deal is you start off with a rub, and then you have a mop sauce. So the rub is going to be chili powder, kosher salt, black pepper, cumin, ground coriander, garlic powder, white pepper, and cayenne pepper. And then the mop sauce is going to have a 12-ounce bottle of a dark beer, 3/4 cup of orange juice, 1/4 cup cider vinegar, some oil, 4 cloves of garlic minced, and a couple teaspoons of this rub that we just talked about. And that's your mop. Now, I used that mop as an injection, and I used it as a marinade because I like marinating. The chicken was the one thing I wanted to penetrate in, and I find that chicken takes to a seasoning a little better with a marinade than just a rub.
Yep.
I don't know that that's correct, but it's just my preference.
Right. Well, it's a softer tissue. It's a little more absorbent, frankly, especially if you got the acids in there like the juice and the vinegar. It's going to open those pores up, and you're going to get some flavor deeper into the tissue.
Right, and there's a good reason not to marinate too long.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I took my first bite of those chicken thighs. Now, the pork carnitas were supposed to be the primary dish, but I'm a little bit burnt on pork butt, honestly.
Oh, we eat a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not as thrilling. Now, it's thrilling when it comes off the smoker and you're checking the temp and you grab a little corner of some fresh bark. That's great. But in terms of, you know, a steady diet of pulled pork, I'm not the guy.
Right.
I get more excited about sausage or a burger anymore than pulled pork. But the skinless, boneless chicken thighs marinating in this, unbelievable, just unbelievable. And the orange juice, what Emily taught me a year or two ago was hydrating certain Mexican dishes with orange juice, you know, finishing them off with some orange juice, like anything in that profile, a little bit of orange juice for your hydration, fantastic.
Right.
It just
brightens everything up.
Oh,
gives
I'm
it a great
you.
Flavor.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. Now, for those of that haven't done this before, these skinless, boneless chicken thighs, I'll go on record as that's my favorite cut of chicken to put on a smoker. The breasts seem to dry out. The leg quarters, you got to cook them a long time to get that joint done. Legs, I'm just not fond of. Thighs are good, but the thighs with the skin on them, they just aren't nearly as good.
They're a little bit more work.
Right.
But I do like those also. I like them.
Grilled rather than skin.
I like them when they're hot in particular.
Right.
But a little tip there, if you're doing a bunch of thighs like that, if you have leftovers, make sure you process all that meat while they're warm. Don't just put them in the refrigerator cold because they're a lot easier to take apart when they're really hot. All that connective tissue is lucid, and they'll just pull right apart. Once they cool down, you have a tougher time gleaning the meat from those things.
Right.
But you're right, the skinless, boneless. And I'm telling you, dude, well, you had them.
Right.
But I brought the first like five off and I'm outside with the big smoker. And so I always have a table set up and a chopping block and, you know, chef's choice, right?
Right.
So
yeah,
I
you're
pulled
not going
one
hungry.
Off and I had a couple of buddies out there. We had already tapped that Belgian. And so we're standing out there.
I'm getting the picture.
Standing out there.
I think I got there late is what I think.
yeah, you did. And we're just having a beer. Beautiful day. And I started chopping up those chicken thighs.
Right.
And I took the first bite and my mouth's watering now recalling it. It was so unique and so flipping good that I just pulled immediately a few more off and said, these are for us.
Right.
And let's bring some inside. But, you know, for building tacos or salads and stuff like that, then we got the cleaver out. Now we're chopping it up and tried to leave it in big enough chunks that you could actually use it as finger food if you wanted to, because some people were just, you know, putting it on a salad or whatever. But
right.
That was, for me, the highlight. We had brisket and chuck and, you know, all this other stuff.
Yep, shoulder.
But actually then, you know, in then doing the butts, what I did is on the butts, I actually substituted two of them because two of them I wasn't sure if I wanted to do this rub on. So for two of them, I
it was
just
your safety valve,
I
man.
This,
it was the first time you tried it.
Yeah.
So you're like, I gotta have.
Well,
this really doesn't work.
You'd
right.
think so, but I actually took it in a different direction and took another chance. And I said, I'm gonna try this citric version of adobo. So I put this citrus pepper adobo on there and just lathered them. That was fantastic on pork butts, and I'm a big fan of adobo, the Goya adobo.
Anyway. Yeah, yep. Goya is the McCormick's of the Mexican seasoning world, right?
Well, yeah, and they make a lot of juices and right. stuff, beans. Yep. They're just like the big food company, right? Kraft, maybe.
Yeah.
But so that pork butt with that adobo on it was, I mean, the bark was like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm kind of liking pork butt again. It's just, it's different.
Did you wrap those or not?
I did.
Did?
Yep.
So if I don't want to wrap them, what do I have to watch out for to make sure that they don't get burned on the outside? Do I need to drop that temperature? Because I'm still bringing them to about 190, right? A pork shoulder I'm talking about now.
Yeah, I bring butts at least to 195.
Okay. So I'm bringing them to 190, 195 with that temperature. Now, you wrap your butts at
160.
When they hit 160. Yep. Now,
at the stall.
Right. That's what I was going to say. If you heard Danny Skiff talking about There's a thing in smoking called the stall. And what happens is this meat progresses its temperature up, and then it hits this plateau, right?
It just stays there for an hour or two.
Right. And
about 160, 155 to 165.
Right. And it won't go anywhere. And you feel like, man, did my fire go out? It's weird. And then all of a sudden it'll break through.
Yeah, it took you 9 hours to get there. So you think, oh, shoot, I've got another 3 hours left. So you take off. Well, no, because as soon as you wrap it and you put it back in and everything's back up to temp, that thing just pings. It's at 185, like within 45 minutes.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But so he's saying to wrap in the butcher paper after the stall. I wrap at 155 typically.
Right. But when you wrap it with the foil, you lose the bark. The bark, the moisture in there.
Too much moisture stays in.
Softens it a little bit. So are you wrapping it tight when you wrap it?
Yep.
Because part of what you want is that steam in there. To help it move up,
I don't want to lose the steam because that's the moisture of the meat.
Right.
So I'm going to leave it wrapped, and then I'm going to let it park for a half an hour or 2 hours, and I'm going to throw it in a cooler and just let it rest.
With the foil still on it?
Yep.
Okay, so you're not looking for a crispy bark on your pork shoulder.
No, because all that bark, if it steams up on the outside anyway, it's going to end up in the juices, and when I unfoil it, I'm putting it in my serving tray, popping the foil off it. All the juice from that comes out in there. So you're still getting all the flavor from the bark.
Right.
You just don't get as crispy of a bark. But it you still get so much bark, it's really fantastic.
Right.
It's never been an issue for me.
Right.
I haven't noticed it like sitting in the pans uneaten.
Generally not. Coming up next, we might give you a few tips if you're heading down to Big Tejas, because we've got some classic barbecue restaurants to discuss with you. Stick with us. We'll be back.